You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's Todd and I, and we've had so much to talk about this morning. We've been laughing. We've been giggling.
It's like the weekend's already started, even though we have 3 hours to do here.
All right, welcome to the program. Get ready for a strange weekend, by the way, when Coastal Carolina BYU is more relevant than Alabama and LSU. You know it's going to be a strange weekend, but I give Coastal Carolina and BYU a lot of credit because they know that they need some help just to get the attention of the playoff selection committee. It's not going to help them get into the, you know, top four, but they are trying, and that is all you can do in a situation like this. They want to get another big win, one of those wins that gets the attention of somebody here. But the fact that two undefeated teams are going to be playing in Conway, South Carolina this weekend, and it has national implications is pretty impressive there. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Nick Saban is back for the LSU game. LSU is almost a 30-point underdog in this game. The NFL has reinstated Josh Gordon. It feels like around every 6 or 7 months, Josh Gordon gets reinstated, and the Seahawks are going to try this one more time. I mentioned BYU at Coastal Carolina. Ohio State, Michigan State is still on. A&M and Auburn, Clemson and Virginia Tech. We have a poll question. We got a play of the day. We got a stat of the day. By the way, the final voting for the next great podcast has begun. We received nearly 2,000 entries. We've narrowed it down to 10 finalists. The 10 finalists have just completed their pilot episode. So you have a chance to listen to this. You can go to nextgreatpodcast.com, listen to these pilot episodes, vote for your favorite. And I'm going to go into business as the executive producer of the one that you do pick out. Move over Ohio State, Michigan, step down Auburn and Alabama, take a seat Texas, Oklahoma. The rivalry, the new rivalry, the big rivalry in college football is BYU and Coastal Carolina. One team's in Utah, the other one is tucked away in Conway, South Carolina. You throw out the records when these two get together, the Cougars and the Chanticleers. All right, they've actually never played each other, but they have taken on the challenge and they're going to play each other. The game was announced yesterday. I don't know if it has any national implications, but both teams undefeated. They're both ranked. College Football Playoff Committee hasn't given BYU much love. They're down to 13. Hard to imagine that even with a win, they would get anywhere near the Final Four. Coastal Carolina, number 18. You know, there's prestige here for them. As fans, we get more football, which is good, and a welcome addition to the sports weekend. McLovin, what kind of poll question do you have for me today?
Okay, we're looking at the odds this morning, and we're wondering what is the most likely upset in week 13, okay, starting with actually Monday night, Steelers -7.5 hosting the Washington football team. Also want to throw out Saints -3 at Atlanta.
No, that's
Rams.
It. No, that's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's your pick?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's down to 2.5. And I said at the time when I knew they were going to be facing each other two times in the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks, that I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta won one of these games. You have Taysom Hill at quarterback, and now we're going to find out just what kind of quarterback he is. You know, is Atlanta able to make him a passing quarterback, not a running quarterback? You have the Rams at Arizona. You know, that's a 3-point spread. The Colts at Houston. By the way, I stumbled across some unbelievable numbers with a couple of quarterbacks. Here's one for you. Give me the NFL quarterback who has 15 touchdown passes and 0 interceptions in his last 6 games. Yeah, McLovin.
Well, I know who the hottest quarterback in the NFL is, and I'm imagining that's who you're talking about.
Who is that?
Deshaun Watson.
Yes, it is. Ding, 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 ding.
Well, you know why? Because you said right after the Houston.
Yeah, I know. I gave it away.
You gave us a big hint there.
He has thrown 210 consecutive passes without an interception. That's the longest streak in the NFL this season. Let me see if I have another one for you. Now, that one's the big surprise. The other ones have to do with Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. But Deshaun Watson is on a tear right now. And could they somehow pick up a win, surprise the Colts with a game at Houston? By the way, we'll check in with Sean Salisbury, our buddy who does radio in Houston. I'll talk to him about the whole Russell Westbrook, James Harden, John Wall coming to town, and you know, this Houston team that's playing quite well. What else do you have, McLovin?
Okay, we got a listener email off yesterday's Dan Orlovsky thing, which kind of caught fire about Travis Kelce being the best non-quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He asked, if you could have start with one of the skill positions other than quarterback, would it be great running back, great wide receiver, or great tight end?
I think in today's NFL, I would take tight end because we've seen those tight ends become impactful. And if you do get one, then, you know, you're so much more ahead of everybody else when you have somebody at that position who's a weapon. I think I can find running backs and I can find wide receivers. Tight end's a little bit trickier. Is there anybody who's on the same level, close to the same level as Kelce and Kittle? Can you think of anybody else, McLovin, that you like? Chase Claypool's not really a tight end, is he?
No, Darren Waller, who's actually stats have fallen a little bit, but he's not. Those guys are so dominant, but Kittle's a little hurt. He's coming back, I think. But what about, could you make an argument like a Derrick Henry if you get a guy who's so much above everybody else?
It depends on what your style is. You know, I give the Titans credit that they went all in on this style, and they're saying that we're a run-first team, a run-second team, and then if we have to pass, then Ryan Tannehill can still use play action because the defenses respect Derrick Henry so much. But I can find, look at all the leaders in receptions and rushing this year. They're not first round draft picks. Wide receivers and running backs are not first round draft picks. So it feels like I can find those players. I just don't know if you can find those tight ends that make a difference. And George Kittle and Travis Kelce certainly make a difference. So if you said I could have any of those other players, wide receivers or running backs, or tight ends, I'd take Kelce and Kittle over all of them right now. What else, McLovin?
Okay, this was the pre-show debate on this side of the glass, although we're not on the glass. Okay. You can only watch one game, and Paulie said that he's very interested in Cleveland at Tennessee.
Okay.
My take is that sounds good on paper, but when we look at all the games laid out, I'm not sure that's the one you watch. There's some other good games, but that's the one that we were arguing about. These there's Indy, Houston, as you mentioned, New Orleans, Atlanta, Cleveland, Tennessee. So we'll see. But I can't watch the Titans. Is there something wrong with me?
Well, you don't like old school football.
No, I don't. I want to see passing.
I like to see it when Derrick Henry is running the way he did in the playoffs last year. Like, it brings back memories of when running backs were the most important people in football. And just that style, you want to talk about taking somebody's manhood away from them. You run the football, and then you have guys who don't want to tackle the running back, and it just brings back memories, Jim Brown to Earl Campbell, where you just had these guys who you had to make a business decision when they came through the hole. And plus, what I love about it is it's kind of counterintuitive to what everybody else is doing. And I feel like there's a place for that in football. If everybody's wide open, everybody's playing, you know, offensive-minded football, and here's Tennessee saying, we're going to drain the clock. We're going to have sustained drives. We're going to run the football and therefore put pressure on you when you get on the field. I like that. And then if you have a good defense, an opportunistic defense, have a good, you know, special teams, you know, that's where you have, you know, a team that is marked for success in the playoffs. And we saw that with Tennessee last year. But I like seeing it, but I only like seeing it in the fourth quarter, if that makes sense. Now, when you watch it and you go, okay, there's 3 yards. All right, there's 7 yards. There's play action. There's 4 yards. Okay, it's a little dry, but that's the way football used to be. And to see it now and have it be successful, or at least it's different, then I like that. I don't want to see everybody throw for 400 yards. I'd like to see it a little bit more level playing field. I'd like the defenses to at least have an opportunity to it feels like we've done everything we can possibly do to take away whatever advantage a defensive player has. Like, I don't even know what is an advantage for a defensive player right now. I don't know if we've given them one in the last 10 years because we're so intent on having numbers, having excitement, having fantasy football, the gambling aspect of this. Everybody's adding offense here, but I like what Tennessee does. but I like it in the fourth quarter. And that's where, you know, I'm watching the Ravens, and you're watching Derrick Henry. And in the overtime, and I went, this is fun to watch. Because that guy right there, everybody had the baddest guy on the playground, right? Or in the backyard. There was the guy you went, oh, I don't want to tackle him. That's Derrick Henry. These are grown men. And it feels like they're not all in. Like, nobody's blowing up Derrick Henry. You know, when you think about it? Even they try to, but they're not blowing up Derrick Henry. Yeah, Seton.
It's kind of interesting, though, that it took him a couple of years to really hit his stride, no pun intended. Is that more on Derrick Henry or the Titans figuring out how to use him the right way?
I always wondered that because it felt like he was the biggest guy on the field at times, and he ran hard. But then even at Alabama, he wasn't their primary starter the whole time he was there. I think he got into the NFL, and maybe it was one of those, hey, I'm kind of finding out who I am, and then, you know, Mike Vrabel's finding out who he is as well as a running back, and then they realize what they had. They strengthened their offensive line, and, you know, Marcus Mariota didn't work out. Tannehill came in, and it just sort of fell into place, but I don't know if that was scripted. Because you look back to Trent Richardson at Alabama, and you're thinking, wow, that guy can't miss in the NFL, and then he did miss. I think Alabama running backs, Alabama defensive backs, we're not quite sure how good they are when they get to the NFL. And I think a team's going to have that decision with Patrick Surtain, who his dad played in the NFL. I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. He's a defensive back with Alabama. And I think that, you know, you're thinking about running backs and you're not quite sure, certainly coming out of that program there. All right, so Sean Salisbury will join us. The host of the NFL Red Zone, Scott Hansen, will join us. And the always popular, controversial Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1, First Things First. He'll join us coming up as well. Anything else that we have, McLevin, as far as poll question possibilities? No-brainers, no-brainer gifts. Got T-shirts, hoodies, hats, our 2021 calendar, and more. Go to danpatrick.com. And this program is brought to you by 1-800-FLOWERS. Celebrate the season with Christmas flower arrangements. If you can't be there, you're going to be the hit. To order 1-800-Flowers.com, you see the radio icon and enter code Patrick. You're good to go. They have great deals for you. What else, McLovin?
I think Paulie has a poll question.
Oh, okay.
Dan, I just want to do a quick debunking on McLovin. McLovin likes to think that the Titans don't score points and the Browns are a running team. Guess which team, which matchup this weekend has the highest over-under, which means Vegas expects it to have the most points scored. The Browns-Texans over-under is 54 points. That's the most in the NFL this weekend. Hmm. So they do score. The way they score is not 50 passes, but they do score. The bunk.
Okay. Now you're saying the Colts and Texans?
Browns-Titans. Browns-Titans over-under is 54.
Okay.
That's Saints-Falcons, which you think those are offensive teams. The over-under is 45. I was shocked.
Well, I wonder if Drew Brees was healthy, what the over-under would be with the Saints.
I have another question for you, Dan.
Okay.
Do you think the Saints would like to have a game where they're down 14 and a half to see what Taysom Hill could do just passing before they get to January?
How about
deep down, they would like to.
How about down 10?
Okay.
How about down 10?
I guess my point is, are they confident that if Drew Brees was not present, that they could pass their way to a victory with Taysom Hill in the second half of a playoff game?
I don't know because I would say no, but then I don't know if Baltimore is confident with Lamar Jackson if they were down 14. And that's the reigning MVP. So it's not a slight on Taysom Hill. I think it's a quarterback who plays that style. And we don't even know if Lamar Jackson's playing, do we, McLevin? I don't know if the Ravens have cleared him yet.
Harbaugh wouldn't comment one way or other. Yeah. I mean, as an Andy Dalton fan, I kind of hope he doesn't on Monday night or Tuesday night because the Cowboys could sneak out a win. But by the way, did you see your Ravens schedule? They could make a run if they get healthy, but will they be healthy enough?
Yeah. Do you have that schedule? Because it feels like they're going to be a 10-win team.
Is that enough to get in? Probably. I mean, Are you talking with the 7 team or 18?
I'm going 17 because if we were going to 18, we probably would have done it this past week. But if I'm looking at just the wild card round projections right now, let's say that the Steelers have the number one seed, and we'll give it to the Saints in the NFC. That would mean Chiefs would be hosting the Dolphins, Colts would be hosting the Titans, and the Bills would be hosting the Browns. In the NFC, Seahawks would be, let's say, the number two seed. They would host Arizona. The Buccaneers would be at Green Bay in a rematch. And the Rams would be at the Giants, assuming the Giants would win the NFC East. So that's, you know, Baltimore only if you go to a 16-team playoff would then make the playoffs. You'd also have Chicago right now would probably be the team that would make it if there were 16 teams, 8 in the NFC and AFC. Believe it or not, the Chicago Bears would probably be that team that would make it into the playoffs. What else, McLovin?
Well, here's the schedule. Dallas, Cleveland, and we don't really know who Cleveland is, then Jacksonville Giants and Bengals to end the season. I don't know. The Giants might be a little tricky, but the Bengals and Jags are pretty good.
How many of those games are at home?
I don't have that
here. Okay. All right. So run that down again.
Dallas on Tuesday.
Yeah. Is that at Dallas?
Ooh. Efforting.
Okay.
Let's see. Then they have Cleveland, Jacksonville, Giants, and Cincy.
Now, they blew out Cleveland earlier in the year.
Yeah. It's in Baltimore. Dallas this weekend, by the way.
Okay. So it's in Dallas.
No, it's in Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
In Baltimore.
All right.
So even with Robert Griffin, they're going to probably be favored in that game.
Is Robert Griffin going to be able to play?
Oh, that's a great question. Or what's the who's that backup that we love?
Trace McSorley.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't stop Trace McSorley.
You can only hope to contain him. One of my favorite bars in New York City, McSorley's. It might be the oldest. Is it the oldest bar in New York? And
yeah,
is it the oldest bar in America?
Yeah, Dan, I think it's the only bar that's been continuous. There's bars that opened earlier, but I think they've been continuous. I had to be, I was asked to leave there once I got so hammered. One of the bartenders or the guy serving the drinks,
yeah.
You know, they wear the white shirts and the ties and they had the little things. And we were all drinking really hard. And he put his arm around me. He goes, son, you're done. And he turned up and walked me out the door.
But
not like a bouncer.
Do they have drinks at McSorley's? Because I only remember they'd have these small, they weren't even pints. They were like.
Yeah, they look like A&W root beer mugs.
Yes.
And they hold probably about 9 ounces. And they just bring them in waves at the table.
And then you get cheese and onions and crackers, I think.
Yeah. And they have like pretzels and stuff like that.
Oh, they do. Okay.
It's a beer bar.
I went with my wife when she was my girlfriend. And she used to go there. She went to school in New York at NYU. And she said, oh, we got to go to this pub. And we go into McSorley's. And there's no bathroom for women. They just had a bathroom. And I don't know if they didn't used to let women in, but it was a universal bathroom, which I had not seen growing up in a small town in Ohio. And she had no problem with it. She was like, all right, whatever. And we had a grand old time at McSorley's, like an afternoon beer buzz. It was good. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, but it is funny, though, because it is a sloppy drinking beer bar. It's not like a high-end
Irish
pub.
Do you get thrown out of a sloppy drinking beer bar?
I was the sloppiest, but what is funniest there is when like tourists come in from all over America,
yes,
and they have like their kids with them and think we're going to see a New York attraction. It is not for kids. It's barely for anybody.
All right. Sean Salisbury will join us coming up. We'll talk to him about what's going on in Houston, certainly with the play of Deshaun Watson. What's the big difference here? And also with Russell Westbrook Jr. III wanting out. The fact that James Harden goes, I want to, now this is reportedly, I'd rather play with John Wall. So I'd rather play with a guy coming off an Achilles surgery who hasn't played in 2 years, who loves to handle the ball, as opposed to Russell Westbrook, who is your buddy, and you said you wanted to get rid of Chris Paul and you wanted to bring in Russell Westbrook, and that lasted a year. So we'll talk to Sean about that. Scott Hansen, how many episodes for the NFL Red Zone?
200th episode coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, but that's nothing. I did 2,000 sports centers, Todd.
Should make him aware of that before they get too excited and celebrate too much about what their accomplishment.
Scott does a great job. NFL Network's Red Zone. And then Nick Wright will join us coming up a little bit later on.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's bring in Sean Salisbury, the great morning host, Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Somebody's got to win the NFC East, right?
Dan, you're giving those numbers out like it's a team I quarterback. Sean Salisbury's 4-11-1 team makes the playoffs. And every one of them's got something to like, but a lot of them got something to hate and a whole lot to dislike. I know McLovin is loving it, the fact that his team could very well, like you said, host a playoff game. But my gut tells me, just a hunch, that there'll be an early out. Okay, just a hunch.
I know, but it's always weird like that, Sean, where we go, that team, somebody is going to have 10 wins and be on the road in the playoffs to face the Eagles or the Giants or Washington, Dallas, whoever it might be. And strange things happen when you get to the playoffs, because that team that struggled just to make it to the playoffs, as opposed to that team that goes, okay, we're going to be a wild card team. And, you know, those teams are dangerous. It's like Seattle many years ago when New Orleans had to go to Seattle, and Seattle won with a 7-9 record.
That's exactly right. And I remember there was talk all over the country. How in the world do we reseed? We got to start to change this. We can't have the Seattle Seahawks host a game. And Dan, it is, because you get to the point, it's like that injury, or when we saw the Jordan situation when he was not feeling well, you kind of take pressure off yourself because nobody expects you to win. Think about if Philadelphia or the Giants are hosting a playoff game. Everybody in the world is going to say Vegas, they're going to put the line out there. So as a player, you kind of take pressure off, you let it rip, you cut it loose, because everything's a bonus. And then they do become dangerous, and they've been under that struggle all year, so they know what adversity looks like, and then they have a chance to overcome it. And you never let a team hang around, and teams like that hang around late in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, then all of a sudden the favorite starts to look around and say, maybe we're not that good, and you end up losing. And it does happen, and you're right, that 7-9 Seattle team took care of their business at home against New Orleans.
And also, the difference, though, this year is there really is no home field advantage, so that'll be beneficial for the team traveling. Why is the national media fascinated with Carson Wentz?
Good guy. Not a self-promoter. I was thinking about this the other day, Dan. If any other quarterback, or most, should I say, he wouldn't be playing most of the time. Now, the fact that they have a backup who's a rookie, who we know is a winner, but you paid him a lot. And Carson doesn't really bother anybody, Dan. What's not to like? He came in as the underdog. Remember, even though he's a high draft pick, comes out of North Dakota State, so he's kind of like, oh, small school guy. So you kind of root for that.
But why
you
did know, they you're draft Jalen Hurts? Why
well,
did they draft
because,
him?
Well, why would the, you know, you got the Redskins or the Washington football team now. You take Robert Griffin and DeShanna, you know, Mike liked Kirk Cousins as well. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We draft two linemen. Why the hell can't we draft two quarterbacks? So to me, it's.
But a second round pick, though, that you use, right?
Dan, I'll tell you why. Because that ought to tell you how they feel about him. They didn't draft him to move him to slot or wide receiver or running back. Jalen Hurts is a quarterback, and I think he proved by going to Lincoln Riley that, oh, we know he's a winner. It's Alabama under the Saban umbrella. Well, he goes to Lincoln Riley, and boom, he proves that he can still win and still throw it. I actually love the draft pick because it's either going to bring out the best in Carson Wentz or, unfortunately, whether it's Jalen Hurts or not, bringing out the worst. I did think Carson's a good guy people root for. But he's playing, missing easy throws. The mechanics are horrendous. And it seems to me like he's always a split second late. And when you're not pulling the trigger on open throws, then that's a problem. I will not be shocked if this continues, that if Jalen Hurts doesn't get legitimate run. And I root for Carson Wentz like everybody else does, but he's not above criticism. He is not playing good football.
Would you rather have Baker Mayfield or Carson Wentz?
Right now, the way it plays, it's not even close. You'd rather have Baker Mayfield. Now, if you told me, Sean, Carson Wentz is going to get that swagger or that feel back that he had when he got hurt when they went to the Super Bowl, that I'm going to get that Carson Wentz, well, then I'm taking that Carson Wentz. But, Dan, sometimes you hit the yips, like, you know, whether it's putting or whether it's throwing the football, or me when you have the yips in an entire 10-year career that you just try to fight through it, right, is it's hard to overcome. And he's in a very difficult, intelligent, passionate football town. And when that stuff starts to creep in, it's tough to get it out. Regardless of what he says, he's not bothered by the trade talk. No human being can't be bothered. So I personally, today I want Baker Mayfield because he's got a winning team. He's starting to feel it. If you told me I was going to get the old Carson Wentz, well, I'm taking the old Carson Wentz. Right now, it's a no-brainer. I'm not sure I'm not taking Jalen Hurts over Carson Wentz the way he's playing right now.
Sean Salisbury, morning host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Of course, former NFL quarterback. What is the difference with Deshaun Watson in the last six games?
A big part of the question going in for me, Dan, and I think a lot of people wondered, what will Deshaun Watson do when he loses the crutch to lean on in DeAndre Hopkins? Well, we've seen it. Their passing offense has not suffered. Matter of fact, he's gotten better. I always had a problem with him, enormous talent, great player, the hero syndrome, that he wasn't willing not to make every play. And the best quarterbacks I've ever been around know when throwing it out of the back of the end zone, when not to take a sack. Now, I don't want to teach the hero part out of him, but the last 2 weeks I've watched him one time 2 weeks ago in the red zone, scrambles out, not there, throws it out of the back of the end zone. The Watson I saw in the past would have tried to make some spectacular play, and he's used to two or three clunkers a year where it's like, what are you thinking? He hasn't had one of those this year. The distribution of the football, I think he's confident with Tim Kelly. And this is on a team when they're not playing well. If their situation was reversed and they were 7-4, he'd be in the MVP talk. He's having a marvelous year. But it's his ability to know when to throw it away. He's making the simple play. The big home run, Dan, the grand slam's always there. He's learning better how to hit singles. The flat's open. Get it out now. Don't pass up an open receiver to hope that you got a home run. And in the process of his unbelievable ability, the home run's coming. So, and they push the ball down the field, and he's taking calculated smart chances. And he's maturing. Good gracious. He's had another coordinator. So he's starting to settle into the position on a team that isn't real good. And they're allowing him to set his feet because even though they don't run it well, the offensive line does pass protect well. He's going to be an MVP guy for a long time. And he makes people around him better. And he's also making himself better by knowing when to throw the ball away and that you can't make every play.
And I wonder, and I've always felt that he held on to the ball too long. And you're
no
right.
No question.
And,
yep,
yeah,
no
and,
question.
And the smart ones, they get the ball away to live to see another day. But I'm also curious, has Eric Bieniemy, like it felt like Romeo Crennel might get this job somehow. Because, right. You know, during this pandemic and trying to get candidates in and whatever it might be, if you're Eric Bieniemy and you know Houston's open, the Jets probably is going to be open, maybe the Bears will be open. I mean, it's probably going to be four or five openings here. If Eric Bieniemy is who we think he is, offensive-minded, would you rather go with Deshaun Watson with what you've seen or go to the Jets? With, you know, you're going to get Trevor Lawrence. Would you go to Jacksonville with Justin Fields? Would you go to Chicago with whoever?
I always want the proven elite quarterback that's young as opposed to the what might be. Remember, Sam Darnold was supposed to be that guy. And unfortunately, he's been coached poorly. So while Trevor Lawrence is what we call a generational, it seems like every year, though, a generational guy's coming
along. But how is Sam Darnold coached poorly? I mean, Adam Gase came out and said, look, I made a mistake. How do you?
Well, I don't like the way they go about their business offensively play calling. I just don't. I could, Dan, if we were sitting in a show in an hour, we could talk about it. I just, and I'll tell you what, let's face facts. Darnold's not above this criticism. He forces too many balls. And part of being a great quarterback, and you mentioned like in Mahomes and Rodgers and Watson hold the ball to him. Those great ones throw the ball away and know when not to take a sack. Darnold's idea is my arm's so good. I'll just, hey, we're on 0-11. Let me take another shot. And he did it at SC. He just had better players at SC at times. So I think coached, but I don't think Darnold's made the progress necessary. Look at Lamar Jackson's growth before this year. Look at what Josh Allen's done. So coaching does matter, but you've got to process the information. But back to, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I don't want to take, well, what if Trevor Lawrence is good? Well, what if, and he may be spectacular, or what if, Fields is spectacular? I got a 25-year-old making $40 million bucks or close to it a year who's on a bad football team that loads you on his shoulders, has proven it. He's got national championship, that type of DNA, and everybody loved. There's nothing he can't do. Why would I? The only thing for me is, are you concerned about the consistency and the commitment of the ownership? Because if you're just talking quarterback, I'm not taking the one that could be. I'm taking the one that is. And Deshaun Watson's one of the five best at his position in the league, and he's showing it week to week.
What's the local reaction to John Wall for Russell Westbrook?
Lateral move. I think people here feel like you lost an all-around better player, but you got better as a team. And Coach Silas said yesterday, Dan, in his presser, and I was listening to you earlier talk about how the chemistry is going to work, and they were talking about fit, and he said, well, it's going to be interesting. It'll be great when John Wall pushes the ball up the floor like he's done in his career and gets the ball to guys on the wing. And I'm thinking, is James listening to this, that John Wall's going to be pushing it? But I think fans, we didn't want it to change. And we know that when James wants a change, that it happens well every year. You're on a one-year contract when you're a star that comes here. But, hey, this franchise was stagnant. Getting to the playoffs wasn't enough. Why not try something different? And there's a lot of ifs, Dan, if Boogie Cousins is healthy, if John Wall's healthy after being out 2 years. So I think the fans here are ready for it. And I think that I honestly don't think that it was a big deal for them. Oh, we lost Russ. It's like, oh, well, we still got James. We got some new ones, got a new coach. Let's see how this one works. And we'll see what John Wall's bringing after 2 years of being out. But he looks explosive in some of his workouts, but lateral move for most of the people here.
But if it's true that James Harden preferred John Wall, can he say that you get rid of Westbrook and then James Harden still wants out? Like, why am I don't give a damn what James Harden wants. I have to look at what's good for the Rockets. If James doesn't want to be there, I don't care if you like John Wall or not.
And I'm hoping that Coach Silas has this. It's one thing to you know, we know about catering to superstars, and there's no sport in the world that caters to their stars more than the NBA. But I can tell you this. I'm hoping that Silas says, as he mentioned, I'm going to give him his space, but we're going to run the offense like I want to do it, and we're going to try to maximize everybody's ability. I'm with you, Dan. Nobody other than LeBron James, I'm telling you, nobody on a professional NBA franchise has more pull or has had more pull with when the flight charter leaves to go on a trip than James Harden. LeBron and James in that order as far as pull within their organization. Well, Daryl Morey's gone now. They haven't won an NBA title. So I think people are starting to wear thin on great offensive player, great player. But I don't care either. You're either going to buy in or we're going to move you. And if you don't want to be here, I can get a bunch of assets for you. So we'll see what James Harden shows up. You know he's going to score, Dan. But after a year, what does that mean? John Wall's gone next year. So it's getting to the point now where people are growing a little tired of it because everything James wants, James gets. How about returning that with enjoying it, getting in, following suit, and putting a ring on somebody's finger? People here aren't sure that's going to happen.
Have a great weekend. Always great to talk to you, buddy.
Great to talk to you too, buddy. Thank you for having me.
That's Sean Salisbury, morning host of the Sean Salisbury Show, Sports Talk 790.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
If you want to know what we have fired up on the Traeger grill, the official description is, I think it's a muffaletta pinwheel steak with a balsamic reduction. But that will be for Todd and myself because Paulie is not here and Seton and McLovin are not here.
And there's like seven or eight of them at least waiting to be put on the grill for very few people.
Yep. And it's crisp here. We're going to have a fire. I got three Traegers fired up here. It's great to be here in the man cave. Yes, Paulie.
But Dan, what if I said you have to eat that lovely lunch, but you have to sit there for an hour with Todd at a table by yourself just conversating?
That kind of ruins it a little bit for you. You're going to get it to go, I think.
If my mouth is full, I don't have to say anything.
Just put it in a bag and take it back to the house and kick back, go down to the basement, put whatever you want to watch on it, a movie, Netflix, and then you don't have to deal with me and my annoying questions.
No, because I am really, like, I came in this morning and my mindset was Todd and I are really going to get to know each other.
That lasted for about 20 seconds.
Because I said to him, hey, Todd. And he goes, hey. And I said, what are you doing this weekend? And then he said nothing.
And I asked you what you were doing this weekend.
And then I said nothing. And then that was it. We were done. And I went, I don't have anything else to talk to Todd about.
Why is that? Is it because we've been working together so long? Or we're just very different? Or you just don't find me particularly interesting?
Should I
read into this now?
No, I don't want you to do that. I mean, I find you fascinating, but not somebody I want to have a conversation with.
Wow. That sounds terrible.
No, but I love you, but I don't like you.
I don't know what to make of that. That just seems very hurtful.
Yeah, that's tough. on a Friday.
Wait, but I gave you the love. God. I gave you the love.
I don't like you. That's gonna simmer for a couple of days.
I don't like.
My weekend's officially over. I might as well just sit here in this chair till Monday morning based on that comment. I'm not going home. I'm just gonna stay here. I'll miss the wife and kids, but I'm gonna have to just sit here and deal with that till Monday at about 7 a.m.
All right. Well, then there's no reason for me to try to describe why I said that.
I would like to know.
No, no. Nah, don't worry.
I love you, but I don't like you.
Todd, I love you. But I don't like you.
Well, I can't do small talk
it's
with
like that
you.
That kid that you're upset with, like it's one of your kids. Like I love you, you're my kid, but you know the way you've been behaving lately, I'm just not liking being around.
Okay,
you. Is that fair?
Yeah, that happens. Right. That happens with my
son. I'm experiencing
son.
That with my son, like now since he's back from
college.
Yeah,
get used to it. Yeah,
I love him, but like he's I don't know, he's picked up a couple of bad habits and he's got a little bit of a attitude that I could do without.
Yeah. Okay. So now you understand.
All right.
You love your son, but at times you don't like him.
All right. I guess I can deal with that.
Yeah, that's all.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Scott Hansen, NFL Network's NFL Red Zone host, and they will celebrate the 200th show this weekend. Fans can watch all 7 hours of live football and see every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons throughout the regular season. And Scott joining us after, of course, the busy schedule that he has where he works one day a week. And Scott joins us now on the program. Congratulations on approaching 200 episodes of NFL Red Zone.
Dan, I appreciate it. Thank you. I tuned in the last segment.
Uh-oh.
And I heard you guys talking about bladder integrity and that 200 episodes was just a good year for you on SportsCenter. I thought I was late. I thought I missed my slot here. You're playing my song.
All right. How often do you go to the bathroom over a 7 hour period?
Zero times. I've taken one bathroom break in the last probably 8+ years. This is season 12 of NFL Red Zone, and I took one bathroom break, and I was playing hurt that day, so I had an excuse. But nope, I do not go to the bathroom for all 7 hours.
I would like to see a best bladder competition with you and Andrew Siciliano.
So I think Siciliano told me he takes breaks. I think he does take one break a show, but I'm sure you'll have him on and he can tell you that for sure. I thought you were going to say me and Kuiper because Kuiper's obviously famous or infamous for never going to the bathroom during the first round of the NFL draft. So,
but I wonder though, isn't it interesting where people will, I'm going to guess that's one of the top questions that you're asked about your job.
Oh. You hit it 100%. There's not a day that goes by. People want to talk about me, the Iron Bladder. That's my fantasy football. My fantasy team name is the Iron Bladders. More than they want to talk football with me. And I think it's because of this, Dan. It's everybody can relate to it. Millions of people watch NFL Red Zone. They sit down with their beverages and their snacks. They're all fired up. We get through the first 2 or 3 hours and nature calls for everybody. They get up from their couch. They don't want to because we don't do commercials. So they think the next great touchdown could be right around the corner, but they eventually give in, get up, go to the bathroom, come back. And I'm still talking. And they're like, well, when does this guy take a pee? And everyone is fascinated by it. And everyone, Dan, comes up to me and thinks they're the first person that's ever asked me, hey, you know, me and my wife watch the show and we wonder, when do you take a leak? They all think they're the first one. So I try and humor everyone. It's my career has been reduced to the man with the most bladder integrity on national television.
I also wondered about this when you're doing your job, you know, because we would get criticized on SportsCenter because of the highlights we would pick. They thought Keith Olbermann and I picked the highlights. And then they'd get upset or, hey, you never show us in a positive light. You don't show longer highlights with us like you do the Yankees or the Red Sox. What kind of criticism do you get on the Red Zone with highlights, the frequency, and the length?
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that because I thought we were the only ones. There's, look, 7 hours, commercial-free football, every touchdown from every game, there's a lot to like, right? And everyone loves it by and large. But if there's a negative to it, it's we have done our jobs so well, I think, that we have spawned a generation of wannabe television executives, because everybody thinks they know where we're supposed to be at the moment that we're supposed to be there. And everyone thinks their team is getting slighted. And everyone thinks that, you know, I hate this team or I hate that team or whatever. And I'm like, guys, no one in the country wants to show you more football than the guy you're listening to right now. Trust me on that. And the thing is, they're watching NFL Red Zone. I'm watching 8-9 games at the same time. So they've got to trust us to make the decision. I'm so glad that you said you guys got that grief on SportsCenter, because it's the one negative that I hear. And I'm like, you're not going to miss anything. Trust us. You're not going to miss it.
Give me the fan base that makes you a little nervous.
You want me to name names here? Okay, the big ones, right? The Dallas Cowboy fans always think one way or another, you know, and I love the Cowboys like I love all 32 teams. The New England Patriots have gotten a little entitled through the years, I think. The New England Patriots, yeah, the fans, they've gotten a little entitled, which is kind of funny because Tom Brady told me a few Super Bowls ago, he told me when he's on the bye or he's playing on Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football or Wednesday afternoon football, he watches NFL Red Zone when he's not playing on Sunday. And he says he loves it. And I'm like, you guys, if it's good enough for Tom, it should be good enough for y'all.
The challenge of this year, given interchangeable lineups, you know, just trying to figure out, you think this game's on a Sunday, now it's on a Monday or Tuesday. Like, how has this year been different for you?
Yeah, well, look, with COVID, we've had to change things. Like, you guys have had to change things. Like, we've all had to change our lives. So imagine this, Dan. You know, you've lived in TV your whole life. We have a control room to produce NFL Red Zone. And, you know, those people sit in there elbow to elbow. We can't do that anymore. We've had to spread out to multiple control rooms throughout the NFL media campus, and people that are normally used to the director and technical director sitting right next to each other, the producer sitting right close there, where they've got that immediate instant communication. They're now in different parts of the building wearing headsets, talking to each other, talking to me. And hopefully the production hasn't dropped off much, but if it hasn't, it's a testimony to our amazing technical crew that is the best in the business for my money.
Do you have an understudy?
You know, people have asked me that because I'm taking a COVID test once a week right now. And if all of a sudden I get put to the shelf, who goes in? They do have someone. We had an earthquake. So we do the show in Los Angeles. We had an earthquake during, it was the preseason one time. And they're like, well, what if an earthquake hit and it knocked us off? Like, what would happen? And they told me they have someone, I don't even know exactly who, but they have someone at NFL Films in New Jersey that could take over if it was like a Los Angeles problem. And if it was a Scott problem, whatever, I'm on the shelf for some reason, they have someone in Los Angeles they could put in. Hopefully I never find out their identity.
He's Scott Hansen, NFL Network's NFL Red Zone host, and coming up this weekend, the 200th show. You can watch all 7 hours of live football, and that'll be Sunday afternoons throughout the regular season. Who do people say you look like?
Okay, so you guys were just talking about him a second ago. Ryan Tannehill, some people say.
Okay.
Now, I'm way older, and he's way better looking, but some people say Ryan Tannehill.
Okay, I see that.
He has his head shaved a lot, and one time I shaved my head. It was a benefit for pediatric cancer, and when I shaved my head, my girlfriend at the time took a photo of me, and we did a side by side with Ryan Tannehill, and it was not too far off.
See,
but he's better looking and much younger.
I see Stifler from American Pie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I could see a little Stifler there.
Okay, you know. You're the first person to ever tell me that. I'll take it. I'll take that as a compliment. They had good numbers on the American Pie series.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did quite well. We've all had those moments. We had there's nothing higher than the highs that you get in broadcasting. And, you know, I've talked about some of the things I've been able to do in my career. But then the lowest of lows, how that hits you. Like, if you had that lowest of lows during a broadcast where you went, oh, my God. And you can't, the camera doesn't blink. Like, you're there and you got to do it and you got to keep going. And, you know, you don't get to go, I'm going to go home now. Have you had that moment where you go, what did I just do?
I've had two, and one was this season. I mean, because look, I'm doing 7 hours live television, all ad-libbed, right? And I saturate my brain with stats, facts, figures, storylines, quotes, everything during the week to be as prepared for Sunday as I possibly can. But when we get on live, we're winging it. So I'm dispensing probably thousands, if not tens of thousands of pieces of information per show. I'm going to screw up. I'm a human. I want my free throw percentage to be around 99.8, but I'm going to mess up. The other day, it was 2-3 weeks ago, Ronald Jones from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got a run, and I called him LeGarrette Blunt. Now, he's wearing 27. He's grown his hair out. He's playing for the Buccaneers, and my lizard brain somehow flashed back to like 3 years ago. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, no. I go, no. I'm sorry. That's Leonard Fournette. and then I go like this. And my spotter looks at me like, and I'm like, yeah, it's Rojo. It's the main back who's been running for them for the last, like, basically 2 years. And I just wanted to cringe. I just wanted to die.
But explain your spotter, like the whole setup you have. Because, you know, play-by-play guy will have a spotter, but you have how many monitors, and then you have a spotter, a stat guy, probably a director or producer in your ear?
Yeah, so, well, with COVID, we've had to pare things down as well. There are only three people in the studio with me. There is the camera's robotic, and it's actually in a locked-down position, so we don't have a camera operator. There's no one else allowed in. The stage manager comes in when she needs to do her job. But I've got a researcher and a spotter. They both kind of interchange, but they're sitting socially distant apart. But they'll feed me, you know, I'm not keeping tabs on, oh, Patrick Mahomes has 243 yards passing in the first half. They'll feed me something when I need to know it. And they can do it. We have wax boards. They'll write it on a wax board and throw it up there. They'll put something up on their laptop and point to the name if I don't recognize the player who made the play. Or sometimes they'll just mouth it to me. They'll be like, you know, Tyreek Hill. You know? And I'm like, I mean, hopefully it's not Tyreek Hill. I recognize him readily, but they'll give me something. Hopefully it doesn't bleed onto my microphone. But I know a bit about football, but I'm not completely on lockdown with every stat, fact, and roster and depth chart, especially in COVID days. So I'm so thankful for those guys. Tim Gilyanins and Brian Larrivee, who's Wayne Larrivee's son, the great play-by-play guy for the Green Bay Packers. Those are my right-hand men.
Well, congrats, Scott. Been a great run for you guys. 200th episode coming up this weekend, the NFL Red Zone. And thanks for joining us.
Dan, good to be with you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys Sunday.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Nick Wright, he's a popular co-host of First Things First on Fox Sports 1, and he joins us on the program. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys? I'm adding to my bucket list going on a buddy trip with Dan Patrick. I didn't even know that was available, but I'm adding it.
Okay, but would you go fly fishing?
I've never been fly fishing. Fishing is something that in my head I love, and then I'm like, I've done it once in 20 years as an adult. So how much do I actually love it? But I think I like it. I don't totally understand what fly fishing is. Seems like you're wading in water. I don't get it. This is probably not the best discussion point here. I've just seen it on movies.
Yeah, like A River Runs Through It with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Where they make
That's
it seem...
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah, they make it seem romantic, and it's really hard to do, but you do feel like you're actually fishing, like there's skill to it. Instead of just, I'm going to throw a line out in the water and then just wait for, you know, the fish to take it.
I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, I feel like maybe in your younger days you were a big... pay to go on a big excursion, you cast, and then you go drink, and then somebody reels it in and you take the picture?
No.
That was the dance?
No, never did that. No. I didn't want to do any deep sea fishing. I would just go in lakes and creeks and go fishing, But no, there was never, hey, can you put the worm on the hook, throw it out there, catch it, and then I'll reel it in and I get the photo op. No, I didn't do a victory lap like that. I was a working man.
Well, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I hope to do that one day. I think it's a sign of success. I haven't gotten there yet.
All right, what's the one topic this week where you're still going, I don't have answers to this, and I want them?
Oh, what an interesting question. But it's similar to the last time we talked. Did Sean Payton bet someone years ago, I can win games with a tight end playing quarterback, and he is still trying to win that bet? That's the question I have. And listen, I understand the Taysom Hill fans took a victory lap after his performance against the Falcons, which was decent. And that victory lap, I hope they enjoyed it, because against the Broncos, you saw more of what I thought you were going to see. And I think the Falcons are going to beat them this week. I don't know if you looked at the point spread there. It's New Orleans by only 2.5. Which means Vegas is daring you to bet the Saints.
Yeah.
Like, how can you not?
Yep.
Less than a field goal. Number one defense in football the last 5 weeks. And the reason you can't is because they got an H-back playing quarterback for him. And so I think they lose this week. And if Drew Brees isn't back by the time they play the Chiefs in 2 weeks, they have to go to Jameis. Because the only chance you're going to have in that game is if you can move the ball up and down the field and score some points.
Yeah, I'm with you on Atlanta. I thought that they would win one of these two matchups with them. It just feels like that's always been the rivalry. It's usually the team that's not supposed to win, you know, actually wins on the road. But, you know, here it is with Atlanta only, 2.5 points. And I see, I wonder, does Sean Payton want to see Taysom Hill in a situation where he's down double-digit points? Not that you want to get there, but it would tell him an awful lot about Taysom Hill if he's down 2 touchdowns or 10. Hey, how does he – it's like Lamar Jackson. We want to see what happens when he gets into a situation like that.
I think it's a great point, and I think while the Saints, they're pursuing the one seed, they obviously think and should believe they can win the Super Bowl this year, so they'll take wins however they come. But I think part of going to Taysom over Jameis was to try to gather information for next season and for years moving forward. And so in that regard, what happened with them against the Broncos was almost useless. Like, you can't take anything away from that game other than – even those of us that thought it was really hard playing quarterback in the NFL, it's evidently harder than we thought, because the poor guy Hinton that was playing, I mean, he was an unbelievable high school player, a good college player. And he went out there and looked, honestly, not to be rude, but it was like a guy picked out of the stands. And so it just told us how much harder playing quarterback in this league is, even if we knew it. But you can't take anything away from that game if you're the Saints at all. So now maybe you can learn something in this Falcons game.
Why is it that we look for a story? It may not be there, but like, to me, Patrick Mahomes has been the MVP at least for the last month. No question. But, you know, Tom Brady was there. We kicked him to the curb. Russell Wilson, now the defense playing a little better, the offense not playing as well. Aaron Rodgers, it feels like it's a two-man race. You know, we want to, you know, bring in Roethlisberger, but I don't know. Is he most valuable player? Maybe not, but why is it where we keep going where, you know, we have tentacles? It's like an octopus. We got to bring in somebody here to make this interesting.
Well, it's an odd thing to say because this is only his third year as a starter, but it feels similar to me, like, and you'll remember this fondly, the Karl Malone MVP in 1997.
And Barkley.
Where it would... And Barkley, I think, actually had a stronger case. Like in 97, okay. I think the Bulls won 68 games. But it wasn't the 72 wins, and Malone had never won one. And so I think Mahomes has so clearly distinguished himself as the very best player in the league that it becomes a little boring to talk about. And in fairness, the first 5 weeks, Russell Wilson was better. First 5 weeks, Russell Wilson deserved to be there, and people got really caught up in he's never gotten an MVP vote, which I think misunderstood how the NFL MVP voting works. It's not a ballot. It's one name. So if you're voting for a guy, it means you think he should win it, and it's hard to find a year where Russell should have won it. But at this point, it would take, in my opinion, a Mahomes meltdown down the stretch, because as great as Rodgers has been, there is one game this season that you can say they lost because of his poor performance. That's never happened to Mahomes in his entire career, and I don't expect to happen this year.
We had Dan Orlovsky from the Mothership on earlier in the week, and he said Travis Kelce is the most valuable non-quarterback in the league.
I don't agree with that. I think Aaron Donald should win that award. I think Aaron Donald, I think the Rams, if the Rams had Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, I think they'd be a Super Bowl favorite. I think they are crippled by their quarterback play, but Donald is such an unbelievable player. I don't know if Kelce is more valuable than Tyreek Hill. Now, Kelce has the opportunity. I think he's 70 yards short of leading the NFL in receiving. No tight end has ever led the NFL in receiving. So he has an opportunity to do that. His production over the last 5 years is just, it's unprecedented. But I do think you saw in, for example, the Bucs game, he started killing them once they started doubling Tyreek. Like, okay, we've got to worry about Tyreek, then everything's open for Kelce. I just think the Chiefs are in such a beneficial spot because he is clearly the best tight end in football. And while Tyreek Hill isn't the best receiver in football, I would argue, Dan, he's the best receiver to pair with Mahomes. Like, even if DeAndre Hopkins is a better receiver than Tyreek, Tyreek fits with Mahomes' skill set so well that you have those two guys and you can't double them both, and it allows them both to be the best versions of themselves.
He's Nick Wright, co-host, First Things First on Fox Sports 1. Let me shift it to basketball. And I know that there's always people in the media are going to spin it and look at the negative side of LeBron James. And I heard this. I think Skip Bayless even brought it up. Hey, you know what? He should have taken less money. You want to win championships. You want to be like
that
Jordan.
That makes me so mad.
But
it makes me so mad.
Okay. So should LeBron have taken? I said LeBron did take less. I mean, he's making less money than like six other guys. John Wall makes more than LeBron James. So should he have taken less?
Here's the problem, Dan. Let's say he did that. And I'm not naming names. You named Skip. I didn't see Skip say that. I'll take your word for it. Skip's a colleague, and I obviously have immense respect for him. But what I will say is this. If LeBron James had said, guys, I'm going to sign for the minimum, guess what? The exact same people criticizing him for taking the max would say he's trying to stack the deck by taking the minimum. And you know that to be true.
Yeah.
If LeBron said, I'll take the minimum, and the Lakers went out and signed Giannis, then it would be, okay, LeBron is running from competition. Just like last year, it was you know, oh, LeBron wants it too easy by adding Kawhi. Now he is supposed to make it too easy. Listen, LeBron James is the most underpaid athlete in American sports. I don't think that's really debatable. I know it's an odd thing to say, but it's true. And here's the problem for the contingent of people that dislike LeBron. They only have the six rings thing left, and in their heart of hearts, they know we've only got two, maybe 3 years left to hit that one. Because the Lakers are going to win again, and then they're at five. And then if you think he's not going to peel at least one more like Kareem did late in his career as a role player, you're nuts. So when LeBron finishes with the most points of all time, the third most assists of all time, 13 finals appearances, six rings, what's going to happen is folks are going to say, wait, this was a debate? And so, like, it's nice that LeBron has not taken over. Like, there was the story that came out, he tried to sign Luka to Team LeBron, but Nike kept Luka with Jordan. I think that was actually a really nice thing for Nike to do. That way in 30 years, people know what Michael – they're like, oh, he didn't just have the shoes. He also played basketball. But because it's going to be – everything else is going to be LeBron's. All of it. Maybe even that statue outside the United States. It's all going to be.
Well, maybe you have LeBron guarding Jordan outside the United Center.
Oh, I like that. Do you think LeBron gets a statue at Staples if they win one more?
No.
Oh.
You know, it's weird how people, and I said this yesterday or the day before, like, we don't want people to get into our scrapbooks. Like, don't ruin our scrapbook. Like, we love Kobe and we love Magic and Jerry West and, you know, the people are true Lakers. Like, LeBron, to people, I don't think they view him as a true Laker, even if he wins another title.
Jack got a statue?
Yeah, but I think they Jack viewed him as
didn't
more
start or finish.
I know. It's but he's beloved. LeBron is never going to be beloved. Shaq was beloved. Like, people love Shaq. Yep. And they respected Kobe and they loved Magic and they respected Kareem. I think they look at LeBron as, you know, he's in town for a few years. And I don't know.
Can I ask you one other question, even though you're the one interviewing me?
Yeah.
So there's this speculation that LeBron matched up his contract length with when Bronny graduates high school, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's totally unfair, but we all discuss it anyway because LeBron has alluded to this. I think maybe Bronny can make the NBA one day, but talking about him as a high school to pro guy, if they change the rules, is super high expectations. But let's say they change the rules, and let's say he is the 50th best prospect on your board. If it is clear, if you draft him, LeBron signs with you, does he become worth the number one overall pick? 3 years from now? It's a package deal. You have the number one pick. You would be taking the 50th best prospect, a fringe NBA 19-year-old. But LeBron comes with it.
No.
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 Fifth pick?
Not in 3 years.
Oh. Oh, in 3 years, because LeBron will at that point only be like the third best player in the league.
I don't know if Bronny can play. Like, I don't know if he's able to play in the NBA.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, he can definitely play.
Yeah.
Is he going to be a guy that can make the league, much less make the league right out of high school? Now we're talking about totally unfair expectations.
Yeah, because I got three more seasons of playoff basketball for LeBron. Nobody's had this wear and tear. You know, Kareem, you know, you had guys who played a long period of time, but nobody's had the wear and tear that LeBron has had on his body. And in 3 years, I don't know what he's going to be like. Even if I get his son, I don't want somebody, hey, come out and watch LeBron play, you know, 18 minutes. I don't want to see that.
No, and I don't know if LeBron will ever play. Listen, I think he's going to be able to play until he's 40.
But would you rather have LeBron with his son or LeBron against his son? What's a better story?
I think LeBron against his son is better. I also would think it would maybe be better for his son.
I agree.
I think playing on the same team as him would be very, very – it's insane we're talking about this, but I think it'd be better against him. I think it'd be – and by the way, if we're talking about it, you know, 5 years from now – and LeBron is playing 20 minutes a game and a little creaky, his son could have the Iverson on Jordan moment, except on dad. That'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, but I can hear Skip Bayless. Yeah, Michael Jordan never used his sons to stay in the game.
Yeah, and then you can hear Nick Wright say, hey, listen, Michael's sons weren't good enough to make the league. I kid. I mean, and I don't kid. It's accurate. But I love Marcus. It just wasn't quite good enough.
All right. Have a good weekend. I don't think you created any negative headlines today.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. And I am awaiting the invitation for the guy trip.
Yes.
Since you've told Fritzy he's out. I do drink. I smoke cheap cigars. And you can teach me to fly fish.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
See you later.